Well, good morning again. Thank you for bringing some good announcements and praying over all those things. There's lots going on in church, in our lives, in the world, and it's just good to know that we can come together in God's presence, worship Him, and kind of lay all those things at His feet, whether they be heavy things, rejoicing things. It's good to know that God is involved, that God is a God who cares, and He sees what's going on in our lives, and He wants to be involved. And so it's just good. It's good to be with you this morning. I pray that you are already blessed with that sweet presence of the Lord during worship. There was just a sweetness today in worship. So thank you, Daniel, Jen, and everyone. Oh, I got to get a shout out. That was my very first time. My son was playing a box on Sunday morning, first time. Jenny Mickelson was playing piano on Sunday morning. So woohoo! Thank you. First time. It's good stuff. So there's all kinds of new things, right? Yes, all of you guys tuned in to a brand new Sunday school, heard Claudine and Willie start to kick off a new Sunday school. So anyways, lots of good stuff going on all around. This morning, we are going to talk, continuing our series on heaven. We've been talking about heaven for the last few Sundays. Pastor Nick did a great job last Sunday doing a bookend sermon, right? He talked from Genesis 1:1 to the end of the book in Revelation 22. And so thank you, Pastor Nick, for doing that. And we are going to jump right back in again today about heaven. The title of this morning's message is Which Heaven? Not with a T. This is not a Halloween sermon. So which without a T? We're not talking about witches. You guys get that spelling, young kids? Okay, good. All right, got my corny joke. So which heaven are we talking about? So I'm implying that there might be more than one heaven. So let's go back to the very beginning of the Bible where Pastor Nick read from last Sunday. I think most of us have it memorized. Genesis 1:1, what does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So this statement, this sentence, the very opening verse of the Bible, a lot of scholars would say this is maybe one of the most important verses in the entire scriptures. It's pointing out that there was a beginning, right? And in that beginning, there was a God that created it. We did not come from amoebas. It was not just a big bang that nobody caused, right? I'm okay with the big bang theory as long as you understand that God is the one who caused the big bang. He said, let there be light, and bang, there was light, right? And He created the universe. So this idea that in the beginning, God, you have to know that all of Scripture hinges on this truth. There is a God. And I love, oh man, this is not in my notes, probably shouldn't go here. Devia, I love that it's even Elohim, which is plural, so it means that there's a Trinity. It was God Himself, singular and plural all at the same time, who created. So Jesus was part of creating. Jesus the Son was part of creating this earth and the heavens. But I love that it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens, and I'm going to say, and then the earth. He created the heavens and the earth. And so there is a progression here that if you think about it, God is the eternal pre-existent one, which my brain hurts, right, to try to think about how God has no beginning. He is the only thing, only being that has no beginning. Everything else has been caused from Him. And so heaven, even angels, even His throne that He sits on, He had to create a throne to sit on. He had to create angels to worship Him. He created everything. And so for me, I enjoy that He even says that He created the heavens and the earth. So for me, and I think most even biblical scholars would agree, that the earth is not the center of the universe, that God created light, He created things first, and then He created earth. So the universe was created, earth is part of that, I get that. Without going into a whole tirade about that, I just want to point out that it's plural. God created the heavens, so there's S. So that goes back to my statement of this morning's title. Which heaven? So which heaven did God create? Yes, He created heavens. And He makes it clear in the Genesis account in verse 6, you see that He separates waters, and He calls that the firmament. And then He says, God called the firmament heaven. So that's one of the heavens that God created, is the sky or the atmosphere or the firmament that we can see with our natural eyes. There are some scholars that would say, well, heavens plural means the firmament inside the earth's atmosphere, and then the sky or the universe or whatever else, right, outer space, is the other heaven that God created. But I already think, well, what about where God exists, where angels live? Like, isn't that another heaven? So to me, did God create those? Yes, He did. So we're going to look at these things. We're going to, which heaven? We've been talking about going to heaven one day. Well, we already have a heaven, right? But we're going to heaven. So I want to clarify which heaven this morning. What heavens are we talking about? So again, Genesis 1:1 makes it clear that God created the heavens. Any heaven that exists, God created. And He did all those. So I want to talk to you about another heaven that the Bible talks about. This is in Colossians 1:16. This now gets a little more abstract, but Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created." Sounds like Genesis 1:1, right? "For by him all things were created, everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world." So you get that. He created heavenly realms, again, plural, S. He created earth, but he also created heavenly realms. And then he says, and he kind of clarifies it. Paul writes the Colossians, clarifies. He created things we can see in the natural and things we can't see, but we know exist. That God created authorities and kingdoms with an S. Oh, that's weird. So there's a kingdom of God. That must mean there's a kingdom of something else that we can't see. I think our brains can start figuring this out. There's multiple heavens. There's multiple heavenly realms, as Scripture says. Another verse. No, let's see. No, I'll stay here. We know, if you've been to Bible school or Sunday school for a while, my kids know this, that Scripture points out in a couple different places that even the devil, we're kind of getting there, right? The devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, he was an angel. He was created to live in the heavens, to worship God. He probably, some think that he might have been a worship leader. And he eventually said, I want to be worshiped. I want to be equal to God. And so God says, that can't happen. And so he cast him out of heaven. Says that God threw him out of heaven, and a third of the angels followed Lucifer, Satan, devil, whatever word you want to put on him. And so we know that God and the devil don't live in the same heaven. Does that make sense? That there, God has a throne room, and there is no sin and no evil that can exist in his throne room. So light and darkness don't mix, right? Holiness and impurity and sin, they can't mix. So we know already that there is a heaven that God lives in. There's now, Paul's pointing out there's another heaven. There's the heaven we live in. So I'm kind of clarifying these things. We're going to read one more verse here. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. This is Paul talking, and he says this, "I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words." All right, so this is Scripture. We all believe in Scripture. I might be teaching something that sounds foreign, or maybe you have heard, haven't heard before. But again, Paul, the apostle, is saying he went to the third heaven. So if there's such thing as a third heaven, would there be such thing as a second heaven or a first heaven? Logically, that would make sense, right? And Paul describes it. He went to the third heaven, which was paradise, where he saw things that words can't even express, which would be where God dwells. Where you see that John in Revelation, he was taken to the third heaven. He got to see heaven. He got to see God creating a new heaven, right? A new place where God would dwell and man would dwell together. Isaiah, right, was taken up and he saw the throne room of God. He says, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I shouldn't be here. I'm a sinner. I shouldn't be where God's throne is." And so they had to take the coal, cleanse his lips so that he could be there. And so there's this idea. There is a third heaven where God dwells. I know there's stories in Job, and you can find out through Scripture, where Satan is the accuser of the brethren, where he comes before God and he accuses us before him. But again, that's not in the throne room of God, because Satan cannot. He's been cast out of heaven. He's been cast out of the third heaven. He is not allowed in the third heaven. So there must be a second heaven. We've been reading these Scriptures where God has created, where there are angels and demons and there's spiritual warfare going on. And that is something we can't see with our natural eyes, but there are kingdoms and rulers and realms we can't see with our natural eyes. So I'm proposing to you through Scripture, this is kind of a crash course. This probably could be a whole sermon in itself, but I felt like God wanted us to get somewhere. So I'm just doing a crash course on this which heaven. Is that the idea is there is a third heaven, a second heaven, and a first heaven. So just to make that clear, I think I have a little PowerPoint for that. A third heaven where God dwells, a second heaven, I'll just say it demonic, and then a first heaven, human, where you and I, we see things in the natural. This earth, where there's a firmament, where we can see things. So there's three heavens. I'm proposing to you the idea through Scripture that there are three heavens, a third heaven, second heaven, first heaven. I felt like a little bit when I was preparing this message, God reminded me of a vision I had. I think I've shared it before years ago when I was the youth pastor, and I had a vision of the movie Back to the Future. Has anyone seen Back to the Future? I don't think my kids have seen it. Back to the Future, the very first one, where Marty goes back in time, right? He goes to the same time frame as when his parents were his age in high school, and they were supposed to date and then obviously dance at the prom and get married, and then, you know, him and his siblings would be born. But he went back in time, and he messed things up, and now his mom and dad weren't going to dance at the prom, and he wasn't going to be born, and he messed up the whole thing, right? And you know, in the story, he has to get them to dance together. So there's multiple things that happen, but the lead guitarist or whatever breaks his arm, and so now Marty, who's back in time, has to go up there and, like, we've got to sing a song. I got to get my mom and dad to dance, right? And so he goes up there, and he starts leading a song. They start singing. They start dancing. It's, you know, it's all coming back together. His picture comes back, right? You guys remember this? His face, his image on the picture he has starts coming back. Oh, things are going right. But then he begins to say, oh, I'm going to play a song for you guys. I'm going to play an oldie for you. Well, for him, it was an oldie. It was a rock and roll oldie song. But for his mom and dad's generation, that song had not even been written yet. And so he starts playing rock and roll, and people are like, what the heck? At first, people are dancing, having fun, and there's other people that are staring at him with their jaw dropped open, like, what is this guy doing, right? And so giving all this feedback, because I felt like the Lord gave me a vision where I was on stage, and I was playing, I don't play guitar, but I was doing stuff, and there were people that were enjoying it, and there were people that were like, what is this guy talking about? He's crazy. He's lost his mind. And so as I was preparing this message, God reminded me, Ryan, it's okay. If there's people online that think you're crazy, that there's three heavens and they don't agree doctrinally, or whatever, like, it's okay. There are going to be some people who enjoy it, some people don't like it. And I guess the fulfillment of what God was telling me in that vision, he said, you know what? There's things that you're going to teach that for you, they sound like old things. But for them, they've never heard it before. So it's going to sound strange and foreign to them. And that's okay. There's got to be grace going on in all different directions. And so I'm praying that you give me grace this morning. I'm going to present some things to you. If you don't agree, I'm okay with it. Just think about it. Just think about this idea of three heavens and chew on it. Meditate on it. Take it to God's word. If you don't like it, spit out the bones. That's okay. I'm not offended. To go back to where the early church, right? That's my desire, is not to copy what Osborne did 70 years ago. I love Osborne. I grew up here. I love everything about it. But my goal is not to copy this church, Osborne Church. My goal is to go back to God's word. And what is the early church? What did they do? How did they do church? That's what I want to do. So for me, it's not old. I want to go back to the early church. I want to go back in time and recreate what they had over there, where they were camping around God's presence, where there were signs and wonders. There were miracles. I believe that's supposed to happen still today. And so that's my mindset. That's my where I'm headed in this morning's message, is that I believe there are things that might sound strange or foreign to some of us, but that's okay, because it's God's word. And let's go back to God's word. Let's read what it says. So I'm giving you some scripture, pointing out why I believe there's three heavens. To me, it's very logical. It's not even take a lot of scripture to produce this, that God lives in a throne in heaven where the devil is not going to be there. We live here on earth, and there is a second heaven. And so I want to give you some thoughts about this. So would you say that God's heaven has authority over, the third heaven has authority over the second heaven? Yes. So would you say that really the second heaven has some authority over the first heaven? It does. And we can go back to Genesis, where God gave authority to Adam and Eve, to mankind. He says, you get to rule and reign. You get to have dominion and subdue the earth, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, right? So mankind was given authority over the first heaven, over earth, where we live. But when Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't just sin against God. They didn't just disobey God. They obeyed the devil. And in obeying the devil, again, they handed over the keys of the kingdom of this first earth. They gave authority over to the second heaven. So now there's this demonic second heaven that actually has authority. And they cause things to happen here. This isn't rocket science. If you look at the world, to me, there's things that are happening in our world where it's clear that the devil is behind things. And he's manipulating things. He's the prince of the power of the air, right? He's doing things. But we know, again, going back to communion, this is all crash course, that Jesus, when it said he was finished, that he died, it says that he went to the lower parts of the earth, that he got the keys to the kingdom, right? If you go back to this idea, in Matthew chapter 4, you see, I'm jumping out of order, but I think I have a verse for this. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus, after he's baptized, He goes into the wilderness for 40 days, and the devil tempts him. And the devil's tempting him, and the devil says this at one point. I know I'm jumping out of my, so who's doing my slides? I'm out of order, I'm sorry. But it says this, Matthew 4, 8 through 9. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. So we'll stop right there. So of course we know Jesus did not kneel down and worship the devil. He rebuked him. But Jesus did not say, oh, you're a liar. You don't have power over this kingdom. Jesus said, I know you have power, and that's what I'm coming here for. The devil and Jesus, they both recognized why Jesus was on the earth. He was coming to take authority as man back over the first heaven. And so the devil's saying, hey, let's just cut to the chase. Instead of you doing all this ministry thing, and let's just do it now. I'll just give you the keys of the kingdom. You can have mankind rule over this. Just go ahead and bow down and worship me. That's all I've wanted from the beginning anyways, is for God Almighty to worship me so that I'm equal. I'm worshiped. And Jesus is like, no, it's not happening. I'm coming to get the keys of the kingdom no matter what, and you can't stop me, right? So I love that. But I just want us to understand that there is authority. The second heaven has authority over the first heaven because of what Adam and Eve did. But you and I, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we are forgiven of our sins, he gives us authority. Jesus gives, he says at the end of the Gospels, all authority has been given to me. So he's not talking about the third heaven. He's always had all authority, but it was given to him. So what was given to him? As a man, he was given authority back over the first heaven. And he says, now I give it to you as my disciples. I'm giving you authority. You can trample serpents. You can trample all these things. You can cast out demons. You can do all these things in my name because I'm giving you my authority. I accomplished it for you. So is this making sense? I know I'm doing like a real quick, fast crash course and all this. But the idea is there are three heavens. God's in heaven over the second heaven. There is a second heaven that's over humanity who's not under Jesus Christ. If you're submitted to Jesus Christ, you are no longer under the authority of the second heaven. That's the truth. Does the second heaven still have a place to affect us and to attack and throw arrows at us? Read scripture. The enemy hates us. As soon as we submit ourselves to Christ, we got bullseyes on us. He doesn't like us. He's going to try to do things to persecute us and make our lives not fun. But the reality is, we have authority over the second heaven. How in the world do we have authority over the second heaven? We still live in the first heaven. Well, as I said, Jesus did this. Let me get back to my notes because I know I jumped around a little bit. So let me ask you this. Which heaven are you living from? Are you living simply from a first heaven? Are you aware there is a second heaven? Do you know that one day you are going to go and live with God in a third heaven? But which heaven are you currently living in now? Where is your mindset? Where is your authority? Which heaven are you living from? Let me read to you Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says this. Ephesians 2, 6 says, He, Jesus, raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's New King James. Let me read you the Passion Translation. He raised us up with Christ and we ascended with him into the authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. This is such a powerful verse. I've read this since I was a kid here at Osborne. I've understood it in part. I'm not saying I fully understand all of it, but I feel like God has given me greater understanding of this so that I can live my life with more authority, with more conviction, with more intimacy with Jesus, right? And so this is a powerful verse. It says we've been raised with Christ. I love this. If you read through scripture, you find out that, I've quoted a couple times already, that we've been crucified with Christ. We've also been resurrected with Christ, right? When we were baptized, it says that that's a prophetic act. We were raised with Christ up out of the waters where the old man is gone, the new man is here. But then it says that we ascend. This verse is saying that we not only died and rose again, we actually ascended with Christ, right? Are you remembering these things of Jesus's life, how he fulfilled all these Old Testament feasts? That he did that when he died on the cross, Passover, right? First fruits, all these different things that Jesus, it's important that we believe that Jesus still lives. It's not enough just to say that he died on the cross for our sins. He also rose again. He came back to life and he ascended. The ascension is important. He ascended as a man, fully God, fully man. He ascended up to the right hand of the Father. There is a man sitting on a throne at the right hand of the Father. And he's saying that you and I, we are seated with him with Christ in heavenly places. So the heavenly places, again, is not second heaven. We currently live in the first heaven. It says we ascended past the second heaven up into the third heaven. We are seated with Christ in the throne room of God in the third heaven. Again, these are things we're talking about today. How marvelous, how wonderful. I'm in awe of you, God. I don't know. I fully don't comprehend this verse. I want to learn it more. I want to understand it. I want it to be pushed down in my soul that I really understand it. But the reality is there's so much more to this verse than I think any of us really fully understand. He's saying that we are seated with him in a third heaven. So therefore, that's how we get our authority over the second heaven, right? Because we're seated with Christ in the third heaven. Now we talked about that. I'm going to skip that too. All right. So which heaven are you living from? Let's think about this for a second. In the practicals. I think as we wrote that, there was a, you know, third heaven is God, second heaven, demonic, first heaven, human. When you encounter a problem in your life, we talked about this the last couple Wednesdays. You can have God trials, you can have demonic trials, or you can have human trials. There are times when God leads us, right? We say this, he leads us to the valley of the shadow of death, that we can fear no evil, right? He's the good shepherd, and he's leading us through trials. Why would God do that? Because we're supposed to consider all joy, knowing that it produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. There's things when God, we go through a God trial, when things are difficult in life, and it's coming from the third heaven, God is the orchestrator of that trial, that we just submit to it. We don't run away from it. We don't pray against it. We just say, yes, God, your will, right? What did Jesus pray as he was going to the cross? My goodness, not, God, if it's any way possible, take this cup away from me. I don't want to go through this valley of the shadow of death. I don't want to do it, but I submit myself. I understand that the devil's having a heyday. He's cursing me. He's having my own friends reject me. People are spitting, you know, all these things. It's demonic. But above this demonic trial, God, you ordained this, that I died on the cross. So I'm going to submit to this third heaven trial. But I'm going to, second heaven, that we discerning, second heaven, all right, is the enemy coming and persecuting you? And it has nothing to do with God. It's just the demonic heavenly realms are coming against you. Well, we don't submit to that, right? We resist the devil, right? We do spiritual warfare. We engage and say, no, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm not under your authority. I'm not going to listen to the words you say. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I don't listen to that, right? So there's this idea we resist the devil when the temptation or the trial comes from the second heaven. Then there are trials that are just earthly, right? They're human. They're things that my own sin produces consequences. That sometimes I'm wallowing in pain and suffering, not because God orchestrated it, not even because the demons came against me. It's because of my own stupidity. Right? I chose to do something stupid and now there's a horrible consequence. So how do I get rid of that trial, right? I repent. I say, God, I'm a sinner. I don't want to do that. Forgive me. I'm going to do the opposite from now on. Oh, that's how you get out of that trial, right? So no matter what difficulty or trial you're in, God's word gives us a way out. If it's a God trial, just submit. If it's a demonic trial, resist. If it's a human trial of my own sin, repent. And life is going to be good no matter what. I love that Claudine was giving she's starting a whole Sunday school class on Philippians about rejoicing, having the joy of the Lord. I talk about all the time, Paul, no matter what, he was rejoicing. Whether he was chained to a prison guard, whether he was in a dungeon, whether he was being beat to death, no matter what, they could not steal his joy because he knew how to overcome every trial. If it's a God trial, I just submit to it. If it's a demonic trial, I resist it. If it's my own sin, man, then I repent. And I walk in righteousness, right? So this idea we can have overcoming and enjoy our lives, that's my prayer. This morning's message, I feel like I'm talking about all kinds of maybe big things, heavy things, or abstract things. But my goal is that we have truth and understanding so that it goes well with us, that our life goes well with you. I want you to enjoy life. And sometimes it takes a perspective change. So we've got to understand, man, there are three heavens. And I'm not just subject to a second heaven. I can actually go sit with Christ and rise above this problem and get the mind of Christ and have heavenly wisdom and have peace and joy that's in his presence, that this second heaven is not ruling and reigning my life. That I'm in a third heaven, right? So that's so important. All right, so we just read, what did we read? We read Colossians. Did we read Colossians yet? Yes. No, we didn't read that one. We read Corinthians. Did we read Colossians 3, 1 through 4? I'm going to read it again because I'm going to say something else about it. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I love this. He's talking about one day we will appear with Christ in glory. One day we'll be completely glorified. But he's saying, you already have been raised with Christ. We've been saying this already. But this is another verse just amplifying this truth. Since you have been raised with Christ, since you died with Christ, since you resurrected with him, and you are raised to sit in heavenly realms with him, since all of that, then seek those things that are above, where Christ is. Seat at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. So important. We live 100% of our day on this first heaven, doing earthly human things, right? We can't get out of that. One day we will leave this earth and we'll get a new heaven. I get that, a new earth. But right now we are inundated with the truth that 100% of the time we are living on this first heaven. But God's word is saying, don't set your minds on things that are just here on this earth. Set your mind on things that are above. Begin to think like you are seated in heavenly places. Begin to see things, hear things, say things from where you are seated with Christ. There's things that I see in the natural, and because of that, I can get anxiety. I can get fear. But we know that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. How do we get that sound mind? It's getting ourselves to say, okay, I'm not just seated in this problem. I'm in this problem. I'm in the first heaven. But I also, God, I know your word says, I'm also seated with you. So I choose in this moment not to wallow in all this filth and all the anxiety and all the worry and concerns of this world. I choose to fix my eyes on you, Jesus, that I'm seated with you. I'm married with you. I'm one with you. I can actually have your mindset and your attitude on this situation, this problem. So important that we're not just fixed on problems, earthly problems. Do you know, just thinking about this, right? Even the coronavirus, if you view it simply with human terms, well, it's a physical virus that goes inside people, and so we need a physical cure, right? So I'm okay with that thought, but that's a first heaven solution for a first heaven problem. And that's great. I'm all for doctors researching and getting an antibody and virus, you know, whatever, antivirus, all this. That's great. But if we view the coronavirus as not just a first heaven problem, what if it's a second heaven problem? What if the enemy is trying to do things? Well, we better engage in spiritual warfare. What if God is doing a divine reset? Oh, then I better submit to that. There are solutions that come not just from intellect. There are solutions that come for earthly problems if we go sit with Christ and we begin to think the thoughts of Christ. Oh, wait a second. I don't just need an antibody or antivirus so that the church can gather back again. Oh, I don't need to just do spiritual warfare so that everybody can come back inside the sanctuary again. Oh, God, you have a reason. You have a purpose. What is your solution for bringing people back into this sanctuary? Right? It's different. It's not going to be answered with a human problem, right? A human solution. So there's just ideas. And no matter what problem you're facing, arguing with your spouse, all right, there could be a first solution problem. All right, I need to hold my tongue and not say always and never and right and get counsel. Those are great things. But maybe there's a spiritual thing going on. Maybe the enemy, just like Peter said something to Jesus, and Jesus said, I rebuke you, Satan, get behind me, right? Coming out of his best friend's mouth, he had to say, I recognize there's something going on in the second heaven. And Peter, you just opened your mouth and you said something that the second heaven is telling you to say, and I rebuke that. I don't partner with that. And I'm going to do spiritual warfare. I'm going to confront that lie, right? Or maybe God gives you discernment and a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, right? From the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ. Oh, your spouse has this other issue, and let's pray into that issue, right? Or whatever it is, I got some issue I got to work on. But I just feel like, let's make it practical. It's not just for these big ethereal things. Everything in life comes down to these basics. There are third heaven solutions for the problems you are in right now. And you're not going to find that on first heaven thinking. We've got to go get the mind of Christ, right? So let's keep going on. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says this in verses 1 through 3. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So be strong, and it's from his grace, his undeserved, unmerited favor that's in Christ Jesus. But be strong in that. Endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. I love that. So there's things that we've got to discern. Sometimes, right, we tons of scripture. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities, against rulers in heavenly places, right? So we've got to know, we've got to engage. I feel like I'm not saying this is the only reason, but one of the things that God is doing during this season is he is getting the church, the body of Christ, to engage in spiritual warfare. That we are praying. My wife, this is the first fast I know my wife has ever called somebody else to. She's never called anyone else to fast because I think the Lord is doing something in us. He's saying, all right, let's pray. The elections that are at hand, it's not just a first heaven solution for this. There are demonic things that are, there are prince, can I say this? Daniel, there was a prince of Persia. There was some, in the heavenly realm, there was some demonic force that was manipulating, pulling strings and causing things to happen in Persia, which was the ruling nation of the world. Think about America. I would say we are still the most powerful ruling nation of the world. There are princes of darkness that are assigned to our nation. It's our job to be like Daniel and do spiritual warfare, engage, right? We're supposed to seek things above. We're supposed to endure hardships. But this idea that we're not engaged in just in affairs of this life. Don't be so concerned about just your own personal problems. Can we grow up and mature and get out of just praying for our own selfish desires? And can we learn to pray for things that are on a much bigger level? And I'm saying that's what God wants to do. He's having us go through trials because he's mean? No, because he wants to mature us and grow us up. He wants to promote you in his kingdom. This is a season where God wants to promote his church. And we have an incredible opportunity in front of us to learn how to mature, to grow, to get the mind of Christ, and not be babies in the spiritual kingdom, but to say, no, I have authority over the second heaven. I'm not fully walking in that. I want to. And I'm saying, God, teach me, shape me, grow me in this season. Help me to learn how to intercede and do spiritual warfare. This is important. I couldn't help but think as I was reading this about in 1 Timothy, he's talking about engaged in the right warfare. Don't entangle yourself with the comfortable things of this life. Right away, I thought about King David, right? In the season, in the time that it was for kings to go to war, David did not engage in the warfare he was supposed to. Instead, he thought, I'm a king. I've already conquered a lot of things. This season, I'm just going to play comfortable. I'm not going to engage in all the warfare stuff. I'm just going to seek my own gain and what I enjoy and what I like. And as he did, what happened, right? Then Bathsheba, he sleeps with her, gets her pregnant. Then he ends up killing Uriah the Hittite. Murder. All because he was not engaged in the right warfare. I think that's such a huge word for us today in this season. If you are not engaged in the right warfare, man, you are food for the second heaven. They're going to eat you up. But if you are engaged in the right warfare, David never would have done that. He never would have been a murderer had he been engaged in the right warfare. And to me, the contrast is huge. Uriah the Hittite, David brings him off the battlefield. Uriah, come home. Why don't you take a break? Why don't you go to your own house and be with your wife and just let her bless you for a little bit? And what does Uriah do? No way. While my brothers and sisters are fighting and giving up their lives, no way I'm not going home. I'm not going to enjoy the pleasures and the rights that are mine. I have a natural king telling me these are my rights. And Uriah says, yeah, but I'm not listening to my rights. I'm listening to what is right from God's perspective. I'm not going to go sleep with my wife. I'm not going to go do all these things. I'm going to stay at the doorstep for the palace with the palace guard. And I'm going to sleep on a hard, cold floor until it's time for me to go back on the battlefield. The contrast was huge. And I'm saying, are we more like King David? Or are we more like Uriah the Hittite? Are we abstaining from natural pleasures? Say, no, I don't care so much about this first heaven. My home is in third heaven. And there's a battle to be waged in the second heaven right now. So I'm not going to entangle myself with the affairs of the first heaven. I don't care about all these things. I care about God's kingdom. So let's keep reading this 1 Timothy chapter 2. I just read a couple of verses. Verse 7 says this. Consider, and may the Lord give you understanding. Consider. That word means carefully think over, perceive, discern. Why did the Israelites wander for 40 years in the wilderness? Was it just because of their disobedience? Maybe. But what was God doing during their time out? He was changing the mentality of his people. They knew nothing but slavery for 400 years. And now they're to be conquerors of the promised land. And he's saying, all right, we need a season to grow you up. We need a season to reset because you still think with a poverty mentality. You still think like a slave. And I've got to change the way you view life. It's time for you to view yourselves as a chosen generation, as a kingdom of priests, to see that you have the power and the presence of God with you. And wherever you go, I will be with you. And wherever your feet go, it will be given to you. It was a whole new mindset. And God is saying, all right, we've got to have a season where things are being reset, where things are not the same anymore, where you are not living in your promised land yet, but I'm preparing you for the promised land. So are we considering? Are we thinking? Are we getting understanding during this season? Let's finish off what I want to highlight. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says this. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. I love this. I said already several times, we've died, we've resurrected, we're ascended with him. But he's saying this, if we endure, we will reign with him. That is so true for today. There are things we are called to endure. If you endure, you will reign. Those slaves for 40 years, enduring hardships, he was promising them, if you endure, you will reign in the promised land. He's telling you and I today, if you endure, not with just barely hanging on and saying, oh, life, poor me. No, endure, right? Going back to that verse, God trials. He knows that it produces endurance. And endurance, character. And character, hope. Right? This idea that if we endure, we will reign. And I don't mean just one day in heaven when we all die and Jesus returns. I mean here and now. You can reign in your life here and now. You can enjoy life and you can see every problem with discernment and say, this is a God trial, this is a demonic trial, this is a human trial. And as we gain and we consider and we get understanding, the Lord is going to give us authority to rule and reign over the things going on in our lives. This is so important. I've got to close. I know time's running up. So again, I propose to you that there are three heavens. This might sound radical. Maybe you've heard this before. But to me, this is foundational. I've never really taught this specifically to my kids. It wouldn't sound foreign to them. But I want us as children of God to really get this down in our foundation. There is a third heaven. And according to Scripture, even though I can't fully fathom it, you and I, we are seated with Christ in that third heaven. Are we choosing to live that way? Which heaven are we living in? Which heaven is influencing our mind, our thoughts, the words that come out of our mouth? Where are we living from? I just even, as that worship band's coming up, I'm just even thinking about this Tuesday, right? We're praying and we're fasting. And I'm saying, I don't know, maybe I'm being arrogant saying this. I'm saying I have a form of discernment. Do I know it all? No. I have discernment where I kind of know where God is moving in our nation. But he still gives free will. And I'm saying, God, would you be sovereign? One of my prayers has been, there's a lot of talk in the news about interference. And I'm just saying, God, would you be the great interferer? Would your sovereignty overrule man's foolishness? But no matter what, as I come before the Lord, as I just spend time in his presence, I stop getting so concerned and wrapped up with this election and what the outcome, the what ifs. It doesn't matter, actually. If Christ is on the throne and I'm seated with him, it does not matter what happens in this first heaven. It is well with my soul. I will rule and reign with you, Jesus, over the second heaven no matter what. But God, I will engage in warfare right now, especially these last few days as we're fasting. Again, I'm just trying to make it practical. There's zillions of things. But would you just close your eyes and let's ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today, Lord? A lot of scriptures, a lot of things that I just threw out there. But Holy Spirit, I thank you that you guide us into all truth. And my prayer has been that truth would bring freedom. God, I want to see individuals listening right now. God, I want to see freedom rule and reign in their minds, in their hearts, where there's been anxiety. God, may that anxiety be stripped of its power. I see it. I see it on people, God. Your word declares that anxiety in the heart of a man weighs him down. But a good word makes him glad. God, may your good word find good soil today. And may it make us glad. May we rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It is well with my soul. You are in the third heaven, God, ruling and reigning over everything under the second and first heaven. All authority has been given to you, Jesus. It brings peace to my soul. It brings joy. So Holy Spirit, may we take these truths and may they be shaken down, pressed down into our bosom. May they become foundational, that we live and move and have our being in you, Jesus. God, we just thank you for your word. We are amazed. We are amazed with the truths and promises of your word. All your promises are yes and amen. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Would you repeat that after me? That all these verses I just said, that I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, would you say yes and amen to that?
Yes and amen.
Yes and amen. God bless you guys. I pray that you are blessed, that you enjoyed this message. Pray that it encourages you. Everyone online, God bless you, and we will see you on Wednesday. And we're going to close here with one last worship song, and we'll see you, Wednesday. God bless you guys.